So here are my takeaways from Hard Knocks Episode 1, in case you missed it pretty briefly. No spoilers here, but the Bills are one of five teams that still go away for training camp.
I love that, by the way.
Every team should do this.
Mm-hmm.
There is a nostalgia to it from my childhood. When I was 10 years old, the then Redskins went to Frostburg. That was what they did back then. That's Darius's alma mater, in fact. And they would go to the mountains of Frostburg, and they would have training camp every year. And the first training camp I ever went to at 10 years old was in Frostburg. And so you see the guys riding their bikes around this little mountain town and going in and out of the little shops where people are hanging out that are going to training camp the next morning and interacting with players. And it's
speaking of ice cream.
Quaint and cool, yeah. Carlisle, actually, which is the place that they had training camp probably for the longest in Pennsylvania, Dickinson College. I went there for Marty Schottenheimer's training camp. Only time that during, you know, my time around the team over the last 26, 27 years that they were in Carlisle. But they had this very famous ice cream parlor where all the players would go for their like late night treat after practice and meetings, and all the fans knew if you go there, you're going to see some players. And it was a cool thing. The mingling, you saw it last night where the Bills have a place like this. They go away to Rochester. It's about 75 miles away, I think, from Buffalo where they mm-hmm. are. They're at this little college that has nice football turf and football fields. They sleep in dorm rooms on dorm beds, but they hook them up. These are big guys, so they put two beds together and they put a nice mattress over top. I mean, we're far enough along in sports science now to know that guys need to be able to sleep well. So they're not asking them to sleep on a twin bed that some, you know, 127-pound freshman is going to be sleeping on a month from now. But the going away for camp is just a lost relic in football. The fact that only five teams do it is such a sad thing to hear. But that would be the first thing I did if I took over here. And they're running a good program. Adam Peters and Dan Quinn know what they're doing. They don't need to listen to me. But the first change I would make, GM Paulson, we are going away. I don't care if it's Carlisle or Frostburg or we'll find a new place. But we are packing up shop, we're headed to the mountains, and we are going to build the brotherhood with no distractions together, locked in arms for weeks.
I think they're like staying at a team hotel during training camp.
They do, yeah.
So at least there's a little bit of that, but still, the comforts of home, being around home, you can always go. There's just a missing camaraderie aspect when you can just go home for the evening.
So then that's the other thing. And I don't know specific to Dan Quinn, I'd have to ask about this, but back when I was on the beat and they did this in Ashburn, they would train at the facility. They have now, dating back to like 2000 roughly, almost every year, other than when they went to Richmond for a few years. Richmond, at least they went away, but it was still different because, you know, it's very, urban downtown in the city, but at least it went away. It was comparable. I'm talking about, though, going to like a college, sleeping in a dorm room, you know, mm-hmm. doing it that way, I think. The way Grandpa did it, the way Dad did it, it was good enough for them. It's good enough for me. But they did stay at the hotel, but it was very kind of written in pencil. Like, if you are old enough, if you're a veteran, you could go home. Don't worry. Hey, you got a baby at home. Don't worry. You could be there. There's no, like, real rules about it. And I don't know if that's how they do it now or if it is a little bit more serious that you got to be in the hotel every single night. That would be good. But just get away from the rat race, man. Get out of the area. Frankly, I know this will go over poorly with some people. Get away from your family and whatever distractions there are for... It's not like camp's 30 days anymore. It used to be.
No, I mean, even they mention in Hard Knocks, 2.5 weeks that they're going to be there.
We're talking about 12 days or something like that you're going away. Get out of town. I love it. There's also just this ability to connect with fans that happens when you do that. Because fans are going for their vacation and they're there 3 or 4 days in a row. And when players are going around campus on scooters, they're all on their little scooters. Like, there's just neat little interactions, which is point number two I want to bring up from my Hard Knocks takeaways. I've always felt like the relationship between the fans and the Bills exceeds that of most teams. I don't know what it is. It feels almost like a fan-team relationship from a bygone era. There is this love, this very like positive optimism. I think it's the town, honestly. Buffalo is not a big media market. There's not a lot going on there. Like, they had a minor league baseball team at one point, but I think they have wings in the Bills. Like, that's kind of, you know, Maryland is crab cakes and football. Buffalo is chicken wings and Josh Allen. Like, that's what they do. That's what those are their exports. But there's just something about what I perceive to be a harmonious back and forth. It's not just a one-way fans love the team. Like, you could see it. The Bills have this reverence for their fans. The Bills Mafia, they think of them as the best fan base. Every team says we've got the best fans. I truly believe the Bills think they have the best fans, and you can see it in their interactions with the fan
100%. Base. It feels college-like, and it's different from some colleges where, and you think about just down south a little bit with Carolina, where North Carolina's right there, Duke's right there, so you have your allegiances. And so there's a love for your team, but kind of a hate for another team.
Yep.
With Bills Mafia, everybody in the area doesn't really care about anybody else. It's just about Buffalo. So all the love, all the hatred, there's no hatred. It's all focused on just loving one thing, which is the Buffalo Bills. And it's so cool to see because there are plenty of fan bases that love teams like that. But like you said, seeing the Bills players kind of have that same affection back to the fan base, it's really cool to see that mix. I think it's led by Josh Allen, though, where he just admires that fan base so much. He's such a good guy, and seeing his interaction. But really, it's everybody. It's yes. so cool to see that connection, which you don't see in professional sports much anymore.
There's an aura around that fan base, too, whether it's the jumping through tables or, you know, running through fire, the, you know, eating bricks or all of the dumb stuff they do before games and when they kick off.
Well, and part of it too, I think, is maybe it's just going through the lifestyle up there where we've seen before where dudes get snowed in and they're like, hey, you want to hop on my snow machine and we'll drive you down to the facility?
This is what I'm saying. I mean, they'll, on days where there's a foot of snow and they're playing, like some random dude named Earl will just go scoop up the Bills offensive line on his snowmobile.
Yeah.
We'll get you to the stadium. By the way, I've been to what is now the final year of that stadium in Orchard Park. They're building the new beautiful facility right next door, which we saw them building on Hard Knocks last night. Josh Allen took a tour with the owner. But you pull up to that stadium, it looks like a high school stadium because it's mostly in the ground, more than any other NFL stadium that I've seen. And so it looks pretty tiny. Like you're driving up on it in the parking lot, and you're like, oh, this has to be an awesome high school facility. Like, no, this is where the Bills play. Like, how is this big enough for an NFL stadium? Well, most of it, it's a bowl in the ground, essentially. So I'm looking forward that this one's a little more vertical, goes straight up. It doesn't seem nearly as in the ground, this place that's basically in the parking lot.
But I tell you what, I'm mad because I don't think that there's any chance that I'll be able to go this year, but it was a bucket list to go to a Bills game when it was snowy
yes.
and it was just terrible conditions.
You should go. I mean, but this one will be no different. The wind and the cold is going to be a little less. So if you just wanted to be uncomfortable in the weather.
I enjoy the bit of like, all right, we're going to go in and we're going to shovel this thing out. The next day, we're going to go watch a football game and throw snowballs at each other.
Well, they're still going to do that.
Love that.
The new stadium will have that too. The only difference is going to be that they've designed it. And they talked about this in Hard Knocks. I don't know how the science works on this. But they've basically done all of the work and the math now to figure out how to cut down on wind. So they have one stadium position just so with these like windows that open. And mm-hmm. I mean, the tech now, I can't wait to see what the Commanders do here. Because just in the few conversations I've had with their people behind the scenes on the money they're spending on trying to figure out even like where ride sharing is going. Because it's going to be critical for them in D.C. with only 8,000 parking spots to crush it with ride sharing. Well, we know right now what that looks like. But the stadium opens in 2030. 5 years from now, it's going to look very different. So they're trying to get ahead of the curve on those type of things. For the Bills, their biggest bullet point when they were, you know, if you're buying a house, my wife's like, we need a multi-car garage. Okay. She needs, you know, I need to make sure the washer dryer is on the same level as this. Like, the Bills' number one prerequisite was not the two-car garage. It was the wind not ruining their games. And what's funny is, in the short term, you almost want the wind to ruin your games because Josh Allen's got the strongest arm in the league and he can throw the ball through the wind and the opposing quarterback probably can't, but he's not going to be around for the 100 years of that stadium or however long, you know, 50, 60 years you're playing. So after the next 12 years of Josh Allen, you're probably not going to have his arm on your next quarterback.
Yeah, I just enjoyed how many games you'd see in Buffalo. It felt like at least one a year where it's like, yep, they're not throwing the football today. It's 30-mile-an-hour winds and snow. Like, you can't even see the field. Like, yep. I love that stuff. I know you're not necessarily the biggest fan of those games. But I love those games.
You mentioned Josh Allen, though. Josh Allen basically is going to get one big commercial about what a good guy and how awesome he is out of Hard Knocks. And this is why every single team should sign up for this. The commercial that is Bills football, that's what Hard Knocks has become now because the teams and the league is so heavily involved in the product that gets churned out. And this is not a complaint. I'm eating this up like it's potato chips with hell of a good dip on a Sunday at 1 o'clock. But why every team would not want to be a part of this, I'll never understand. You look at what it did for the Rex Ryan, Mark Sanchez Jets becoming, you know, an American institution for a couple of years in this beloved club. I still think the Lions benefit massively, Dan Campbell specifically,
100%.
From the cologne of Hard Knocks. I think you're going to see it with, you know, on the sideline with Sean McDermott. You're going to see it with this entire operation. But Josh Allen is so decent and so likable and seemingly, I mean, anything can make you look however it wants to, but I've always heard from everyone in the league, like one of the most genuine, awesome people. And the whole episode is just seeing Josh Allen, like legitimately he's signing autographs and a kid's like, it's my birthday. And it's as if like every kid that tells him that, he needs to make sure that their birthday gets special. I mean, he's just a great dude, it seems like.